Hello, welcome to today's worship stream. I am Gabriel, lead pastor of Grace Communion Richardson, where we seek to know Jesus and to make him known through worship, through family fellowship, and through community outreach or neighborhood engagement, all out of the compelling love of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And by the power of His Spirit. You are welcome to today's worship stream. If you have any prayer requests, please do not hesitate to send them to us. You can see on the screen the address where you can send any prayer requests that you may have. And if you have any comments, we would love to read those as well. Don't hesitate to share those as well. Christians have an opportunity to pray for peace and unity, and to model it during these very troubling and difficult times in our nation. And we pray and seek and model peace and unity as we point to the one who has the ultimate answer, and that is Jesus Christ, during these challenging and difficult times. As a Christian, I believe that God in Jesus Christ offers a way out of our current crisis. Jesus provides the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is full of abounding grace for you and for me, for all of us, and it is our privilege to join Him in extending that grace to each other, in the way that we listen to each other, in the way that we talk with each other, not at each other. God in Jesus Christ knows you. You are not just part of a blob. You are not just a statistic. You are not just one of billions. God knows you. He knows all of you and about you, inside and out. The good, the bad, the ugly, the weird. And He accepts you and loves you anyway. Now, that's an incredible, comforting, and encouraging truth. God knows who you are and where you are in life and what you need. He invites you to know Him too, and to know yourself in the process. God invites you to know Him as He reveals Himself to you through Christ Jesus and by the power of His Spirit. I'll be talking more about this in today's message. Right now, I'm speaking specifically to Grace Communion Richardson members and our supporters, and I just want to say thank you for your generous financial support and donations. They are very helpful in our gospel efforts as we participate in the life and in the mission of love of Jesus. If you are moved and want to join in supporting our gospel work with a financial donation, of course I also seek your prayers, you can do so in the various ways that's on your screen right now. And your financial donations are tax deductible. They are welcome, and we are grateful. God bless you. Now, if you don't mind joining our praise team for a praise song, and then after that, I will come back with a message for today. Please stay with us. Thank you. I want to begin this message with prayer. So if you don't mind joining me in a brief prayer. Eternal God, our Father. Eternal God, the Son. Eternal God, Holy Spirit, our helper, our comforter, our teacher, our companion, and coach. Triune God, thank you for your incredible love for all of us. And thank you for the fact that you know us. You know us intimately. And you do not know us just to criticize or condemn, but you know us for our good. You know us and accept us and love us. And you have a wonderful, amazing destiny for each and every human on earth. Thank you for reminding us of that today. And thank you for opening our hearts and our minds to accept the offer of an intimate, eternal love relationship of joy with you through Jesus Christ, your Son, and through your Spirit. I pray this in His name. Amen. Are you a celebrity? Are you recognized on the street when you are up and about? Do people mob you and ask for autographs? Are you known? Who knows you? Does it matter? Of course, we live in a world these days where, you know, a sizable number of people really crave to be known, crave to be famous, to be celebrities, so to speak. And so we have all kinds of reality TV that promotes that. And it flows out of a primary need that we all have as humans to matter, to be known, to not be insignificant, to not be unseen and unheard. It reminds me of that television sitcom called Cheers. I'm probably dating myself. And those of you who nod your heads and smile and say, yeah, I remember Cheers, you are dating yourselves as well, alongside with me. But you know, the signature tune of Cheers goes something like this. You wanna go, I'm probably botching this, but I'm not gonna inflict my singing voice on you. I'll just share part of the lyrics. You see, you want to go where everybody knows your name, where they are glad you came. And again, that is part of the primary need of every normal human being. To be known. Well, I have a truth for you. I have a message for you. I have a revelation for you. And it's really nothing strange in a sense, but it is also mind-boggling in another sense. And that is, God knows you. Even if you are not a celebrity, even if you are not recognized on the street, even if no one mobs you for your autograph, even if you consider yourself a nonentity, I have a truth for you. And it is, God knows you. God knows your name. He knows who you are in your heart and in your secret places. He has insight of you, oversight of you, and foresight over you. He knows you in His love and places value and worth on you. See, God knows you not to dismiss you as nobody. God knows you not to criticize or condemn. God knows you, seeks to know you, has delight and pleasure in knowing you because He has your best interest at heart. He accepts you where you are and transforms you into what He made you in Christ Jesus to be. Let me say that again. You know, you've probably heard this saying before. God loves you to act so much to accept you where you are, but loves you too much to leave you where you are. God delights in you as a person uniquely made. Even as we are all made in His image, we are also uniquely made in His image. And He, God, invites you to know Him as well through Jesus Christ. He invites you to a love relationship of knowing Him and knowing yourself. In that process of knowing God, you get to know yourself forever. What do you say to that? As humans, we feel good to be known, heard, seen, accepted, liked, and loved. One of our existential struggles is to feel worthy, is to feel valued, is to feel significant, and have a sense of meaning and purpose to our lives in the context of relationships. David, in the Psalms, recognizes God as having insight, oversight, and foresight for his life. And it is true for your life as well. David is, in that sense, a personification of all humans. David, in describing what he does in Psalm 139, is really describing all of humans in relationship with God. And so let's go to Psalm 139 and read some of what David was inspired to share. In Psalm 139 and beginning from verse 1, it says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me." It's a very powerful statement. You have searched me and you know me. And as I said earlier, that is true, was true of David, and it is true of you and true of me. God knows you. Verse 2, "You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways." That's David writing. Verse 4. "Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain." So here's David describing his sense of God's knowledge of him. God knows you as well, inside and out. He knows your thoughts, He knows you, and accepts you beyond what you can and cannot do, beyond your strengths and weaknesses, beyond the world's measure of value. He knows you, accepts you, and loves you because you are His child. God has perfect insight of you, and that insight is for good. That's what David is describing here. God has insight of him. He knows when he sits, he knows when he rises. He perceives the thoughts before they are formed, before a word is formed on the tongue. David says, God has insight into how we think, how we reason, how we react. And this knowledge, this insight, friend, is not meant to be creepy. It's not meant to be subjugating. It's not meant to be condemning or criticizing. Rather, it is meant for good. So that David, after describing all of that, can go on and say in verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain or to wrap my mind around. David did not feel threatened by this insight of God into him. In fact, he was amazed and enthralled by it. It's like someone who has a love relationship with someone else and is amazed that their partner knows them the way that they do, as intimately as they do. Because, why? Because it portrays a certain sense of care, a certain sense of interest, a certain sense of delight, a certain willingness to not just sit at the surface, to not just sit at the superficial, but to go deeper and deeper in knowing and in understanding of who you are. And that's what we all crave as human beings, that we will be known, and not only known, but accepted for who we are. And God does. You. In verse 7, David continuing, showing that God not only has insight into each of us as individuals, but also God has oversight of us. What do I mean by oversight? Well, it means that God is not askance. God is not distant from us. God has not left us on our own. God does not abandon us. In verse 7, David continuing to write, says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light will become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. So again, David is saying, you have oversight over my life. You've not abandoned me to the whims and caprices of life. You've not left me to the challenges and difficulties of life. When the darkness comes, when I'm going through the dark night of the soul, you are still with me and you turn it into light. He says, you guide me. He's describing these examples of God's presence, not in condemnatory way. Do you notice that? He says, you search me out. You are with me wherever it is that I am in life, and you guide, you help, you support. You do not condemn. You do not abandon. You do not forsake. So God is the same way with you, friend. If you will let him, if you will notice it, if you will accept, if you will surrender to that intimate, knowing love relationship that David is describing here, of God's oversight in your life. And then David goes on to describe God's foresight. In other words, God's interest in us is not only for the present, but also for the future. In verse 8, well, actually in verse 13, continuing from where David we read to verse 12, let's continue from verse 13 all the way to 18. For you, God, created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. So David here is saying, your desire in me, your knowledge of me, your interest in me did not begin with just me being born and in this world. It began even in my mother's womb. I did not come into this world. I was not birthed as an accident, David is saying. Your interest in me and for me began even in the womb, he's saying. And it began in the womb because you have an interest for me beyond the present. Verse 14, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well, David says. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. David is using metaphorical language here to say, even as the various cells were coming together, you were aware of it. As Mother Earth was bringing me about, so to speak, you know, the fact that humans are made from the dust of the earth. Just you were intricately part of it. You were not outside of that process in the sense of not being interested. You were involved and you were interested in it. Verse 16, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them, that is before one of my unformed parts came to be. And this is the foresight David is talking about. This is God, you're not only interested in my present situation. You were interested before I was formed and as I was being formed, and you are interested in what becomes of me, what I become in the future. And so that the days of my life are ordained and is written in your book, so to speak, David says. Verse 17, how precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. That is an echo of resurrection. He says, how amazing are these things, David says. So David is talking about God's knowledge of him. And David, again, is a personification of all of us, friend. David is talking about God's knowledge of him in laudatory terms, in a desirous way, in an enlightening way, in an amazement. David is not describing God's knowledge of him in a fearful way, in a creepy way, in an anxious and angst way. No, not at all. David is describing such an intimate knowledge that God has of him in a very positive and welcoming way. And that is true for you and for me as well. Because that is the truth. God's knowledge, intimate knowledge of us, is not for our bad, but for our good. It describes a God, a being who delights in us. It is like a description of a lover who is interested in knowing everything about the one that they love, for good, for care, for concern, for support, for encouragement, for help, for love. That's what David is describing here. So God has foresight of us. God's foresight means God set his love and passion on you before you were born. God's love and passion for you begins even in the womb. And then the previous verses, verses 7 to 12 that we read, describes the important truth that nothing we do in this life is at the blind side or blind spot of God. God knows all of our activities and has oversight over ultimate outcomes. God does not hinder us because he gives us the freedom to live our lives, but he has authority and oversight over ultimate outcomes. He steps in for his will and purpose to prevail. Another way of putting it is how the Apostle Paul puts it in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. He works all things out together for good for us. That's the purpose of his oversight over our lives. He is not only our only aware of our life struggles, our fears, our failures, our victories, our joys. He is involved in it to work all things out for good. That's what he does in, with, and through Jesus Christ and by the power of his Spirit for you and for me. And his foresight means he has set his love and passion on us even before we were born. So that's God's knowledge of you. It's not a superficial, shallow knowledge. God knows you very, very well, and he knows you very, very well for good. Not for ill, not for evil, but for good. He knows you very well, and he provides for you what you need. He provides for me what I need. We are in this world not by accident. That's another way of explaining Psalm 139. Your being alive is not an accident. You know, as parents, sometimes when we are describing the birth of some of our children, we say, it was an accident. We weren't expecting it. Well, it may be an accident for us, but not for God. There are no accidental human beings on the face of this earth. Each and every one is known of God. So Psalm 139 tells us. And God does not only know you, friend. God does not only delight in you. God does not only accept and love you. He also invites you in this journey of knowing. He says, know me. Come, let me reveal myself to you. Let me show you who I am. Let's have a relationship of knowing in love. Let us have a relationship of knowing for good. Let us have a relationship of knowing forever. That's what eternal life is supposed to be. A knowing, loving, joyous relationship that we have with God and with one another. Because as we go through this relationship of knowing God, then we get to know ourselves, and we get to know how we were made, and how we are supposed to live, and how we are supposed to interact with others who are also made to know God and to know who they are and to know how they were made to live. And the cycle is then complete. We know who we are as we know God, and we know who we are in relationship to each other and how we treat each other, how we also see each other and know each other and respect each other and accept each other and love each other just as God is and just as God does. So God invites you, friend, on this journey of knowing Him. He knows you. Do you know Him? How well do you know Him? He invites you to know Him. He reveals Himself to you through Jesus, with Jesus, in Jesus, and by the power of His Spirit. We see that invitation from Jesus in John chapter 17. So John is saying, God knows, he's saying, God knows you. God knows me, God knows you. And in John chapter 17, Jesus is saying that knowing relationship is meant to be bidirectional. It's meant to be not a one-way street. It is supposed to be a give and take, an interpenetrating knowing, so to speak, just as exists in the Trinity. A knowing that is based in love, because that's who God is, love. And so in John chapter 17, the apostle John was inspired to record these words from Jesus Christ. Of course, it is breaking into a narrative that's been going on, you know, in chapter terms from chapter 13. Just before he was crucified, Jesus was encouraging his disciples and by extension, all of us. He was sharing with them, pouring his life into them, encouraging them, helping them to see beyond the here and now that they were going to be going through, the difficult, the traumatic time that they were going through. That we're going to go through and look beyond it into the future and what God's plan and purpose is, what the destiny is that God has set in motion in Jesus Christ. And so we come to chapter 17 and in verse 1. It says, after Jesus said this, and of course this is in reference to the previous chapters, and one of the last words that Jesus said before we come to chapter 17 is the fact that Jesus said that we will have troubles in this life, in this world, we will have trouble. And aren't we having trouble? Having a lot of trouble in the world right now, not just with COVID. COVID just somehow highlights a lot of what has been going on for quite some time. In this country, we are having a lot of trouble with COVID. We are having a lot of trouble with the impact of COVID in terms of health, in terms of economics, in terms of relationships. We are having a lot of trouble not only COVID, but in our own interpersonal relationships as a nation. Racial issues, justice issues. We are having a lot of troubles politically with political issues that's going on. A lot of it is maddening. A lot of it is frustrating. A lot of it is I don't even know how to describe it. It's unwanted. It's unhelpful. And we are going through all of these things. And Jesus says this is how the world is. A world that is apart from Him. A world that desires to go its own way instead of knowing the God who made us. And who desires for us to have a relationship with Him that impacts how we see each other and hear each other and listen to each other and talk to each other. And so in chapter 17, after Jesus has said, you have trouble, but be of good cheer, or take heart, I have overcome the world. After saying this, He looked toward heaven, verse 1, the 17th chapter of John, and prayed, Father, the hour has come, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted Him, that is your Son, authority over all people, that He might give eternal life to all those you have given Him. Verse 3, and that is really the point. This is the main verse that I want to share with you. Verse 3, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So, John is sharing here that Jesus prayed to the Father that we all may have eternal life. And eternal life consists of, is made up of, means a life of knowing God and Jesus whom he has sent. God in Christ invites you and me in a lifelong journey of knowing him, just as he knows us inside and out. He invites us to also get to know him. And as we do so, we get to know ourselves, and we get to know what we were made for and how we are to live and fulfill our destiny, and how we are supposed to get along with each other, all of us, known by God and made in his image and destined to share in the identity of Jesus Christ. As we are his image bearers in this life. So God determined to have you around and invites you for a love relationship of knowing him and knowing yourself through Jesus and by his Spirit. We don't do this by our own effort or will, but by the Spirit of God. Knowing that God knows us, hopefully sets you free and sets me free. The fact that God knows me, and that this great creator of the endless universe knows me, cares for me, accepts me, set value and worth on me, is freeing. It's very freeing. It helps you to have a better perspective about life and about what goes on in life, how to hopefully respond to life's challenges, including from other human beings and how they may treat you or mistreat you. It's very helpful to know that God knows you, accepts you, wants you, loves you, and wants the best for you. To know the truth of who God is and who and whose we are in Jesus sets us free to be who he created us to be, to the praise of his glory. Grace Communion Richardson members, you have an incredible joy of knowing Jesus in loving, growing relationship, and in doing so with others. Sharing him, pointing him to others that he loves them too and wants the best for them and is with them. That's our vision and mission as a church, and we want to do so through the ministry avenues of hope, faith, and love. And we want to do so in the arenas of worship, in family fellowship, and in neighborhood engagements. So my question to you then, dear viewer, what about you? Do you know what God has in store for you? Let me put it another way, as we've been talking about it all along. Do you know that God knows you, accepts and loves you? Do you know that he invites you to get to know him in his son, Jesus, through loving relationships? That you can start to know Jesus through prayer and allowing the Bible, the written word, to point you to the living word, Jesus, in continuing relationships with others and with those who are on the same journey as you, of knowing God through the power of his Spirit. I pray you do. Please reach out for help if you want to. None of us need to do this life alone. That's part of what knowing that God knows us frees us to understand. That we're not meant to do this life alone. We're meant to do life with Him and with each other. As you go through 2021 and the rest of your life, please keep this in mind, that God knows you and has insight, oversight, and foresight of you for good. And that He invites you to live life with Him through Jesus Christ and by the power of His Spirit. I look forward to seeing you next Sunday as we join together in this effort of knowing Jesus and making Him known, sharing His life, His love, His hope and faith in worship, in family fellowship, and in neighborhood engagements. Please join me as we conclude with a praise song, and I hope to see you next time. God bless.
I want to invite you to a Zoom discussion after this message. The ID is on the screen. If you need to call using the phone number is on your screen as well. If you are watching on Facebook, the link that you can click on to join Zoom is in the description. If you are watching from our website, the link is on top of the video. I look forward to meeting you on Zoom for discussion and for fellowship. God bless.